Good evening. Good to be back with you all. We've been on the road for the past couple weeks. Good to be back home. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. And while you're turning, I have a message from our pastor. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3. While I was sitting there, I was thinking, because these are Frank's words. Frank texts this. So this is a message directly from my pastor, our pastor. It's not secondhand. It's his words. And I was sitting there thinking, that's what we're doing here tonight, isn't it? We're reading a letter from our Savior, written to sinners. And that's my prayer for this evening, that we hear the Lord's word, his words. These are Frank's words. So from our pastor, he says, nothing new to report as far as my health goes. Thankfully, the pain is still mostly under control. We'll have to wait and see how soon I'll be able to preach after the surgery. Surgery's this Friday. The surgeon thinks I'll be ready physically before I'll be ready mentally because of the meds. So we'll wait and see what the Lord's will is for me. I long to see everyone. I long to see everyone. And I pray our Lord will use this surgery to enable me to see y'all soon. And he quotes this verse, Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So that's the message from our pastor. I know y'all, as we do, we continue to keep him and Janet in our prayers. Again, turn with me, if you would, Ephesians chapter 3. Read the two verses there at the end of the chapter, verse 20 and verse 21. And I'll reference this verse a lot as we go through the message today, because you know, I've read this from the pulpit before this way. This is the way I like to read this verse. We've been doing in the spirit of going back to school. We've been doing some sentence diagramming, haven't we? So I like to diagram this sentence just a little bit and read through it. It always blesses me when I look at this. Now unto him that is able to do all that we ask or think. But that's not what the verse says. It says, now unto him who's able to do above all that we ask or think. But that's not what the verse says. It says, now unto him who's able to do abundantly above all that we ask or even think. But he's able to exceed that. Now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, what a privilege it is to address you as our Father. We pray that your name be glorified as it ought to this evening. We pray that you send your Spirit to bless your word. We take comfort in the fact that you've promised where two or three are gathered together in your name, Father, you'll be in the midst. And we take comfort in that. We rely on that promise even now. We pray that you bless this word and make it yours. Bless the hearts of your people. Call sinners to repentance. Glorify your holy name as it ought to be glorified here, even now. Pray for ourselves. We pray for other congregations, wherever they're meeting, where your name's being declared, that name go out in power according to your will and according to your word. That Christ be glorified wherever your name is being declared this evening. Father, we rely on you for all things. We rely on you as a congregation. We thank you for continuing to bless us as you've seen fit. We rely on you as a local assembly and even as a country. That we pray that you keep your hand on us and direct according to your will. Give us faith to rest and to wait on you. We pray for our pastor and for Janet. Thank you for sustaining them. Pray that you use this surgery to accomplish your will. and be with them, comfort, strengthen according to your will. We thank you, Father, for all things. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Arise, my soul, arise, shake off thy guilty fears, the bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands, my name is written on his hands. My name is written on his hands. He ever lives above for me to intercede. His all-redeeming love, his precious blood to plead. His blood atoned for all his race, and sprinkles now the throne of grace, and sprinkles now the throne of grace. Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers, they strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry, nor let that ransomed sinner die, nor let that ransomed sinner die. The Father hears him pray, his dear anointed one. He cannot turn away the presence of his Son. His Spirit answers to the blood and tells me I am born of God, and tells me I am born of God. My God is reconciled, his pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for his child, I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh, and Father, Abba, Father, cry. And Father, Abba, Father, cry.
End of one of those verses could be the title of this message. Christ won't let his ransomed sinners die. That's exactly right. That's good. Thank you. Turn with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. We'll actually read through the first 45 verses, and then we'll make some comments. We'll come back and make some comments to them. John chapter 11. We're going to read the first 45 verses. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went in and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye led him? Where have ye laid him? She said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, they believed on him. Let's go back through these verses and just look together at a few points. In the first three verses there, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, town of Mary and her sister Martha. Verse 3 says that his sister sent unto Christ, unto the Lord, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was sick unto death. He's part of the human race, right? I mean, Lazarus is part of the human race, and as being part of the human race, his days are numbered. Psalm 90 says, the days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Lazarus is part of the human race, and as a member of the human race, as a member of that population, his days are numbered. Lazarus is sick unto death. Sick unto death. He's born sick with his days numbered, just as a member of the human race, right? Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. As a race, and I'm speaking physically for right now, as a race, we're all physically born, and we all physically die, such is the way of man, right? And as Adam's race, as part of Adam's race, we're all born spiritually dead, or we're all born without the ability to come to God as a race under Adam's representation. Adam's race, we're born dead. We're born spiritually dead. Sick unto death. We're born without the will to come to God, without the ability to come to God. We're born without the right to come to God. He gives us the right to walk into his presence on our own merit. What even gives us the right? We don't have the right, we don't have the will, we don't have the ability, we don't have the life. We're born spiritually dead. Can't and won't come to God. We're born spiritually dead, represented by our father, Adam. We're all born spiritually dead, in him, dead. What can a dead sinner do for God? Martha tells us there in verse 39. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He's been dead for 4 days. That's what we in Adam, as a population in Adam, that's what we can do. We can stink. We can stink. Even our best works, Paul calls them dung. Dung. Even my kids know what dung is. Paul calls his best works dung. At our best in ourselves, we stink. It's the best that we can do. Lazarus was absolutely represented under Adam's race. He was a sinner by birth. But look back there at verse 1. This really struck me. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus. Lazarus, he's a certain man, and he was sick. And it's a true statement for me to say that I'm a sinner because I'm born in Adam's race. Because my father Adam sinned, therefore I'm sinned. That's an absolutely true statement. Don't diminish from that for a minute. It's an absolutely true statement. We're under that judgment. It's also true to say that I'm a sinner, a certain man. A certain man was sick. I'm a sinner, me. A certain man named Lazarus was sick, is what it says in verse 1. Named Lazarus. Christ saves certain men by name, by name. Turn over to back a few pages to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 in verse 48. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, thou wast under the fig tree. When thou wast under the fig tree, I knew thee. Nathanael answered and said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. A certain man. He calls a certain man Lazarus. Lazarus is sick. Now I look at that and I put my name there, you know, sick unto death, a certain man, Jonathan, sick unto death, born sick unto death. but God. Look at verse 4. But God, we see God, Christ's sovereign control here. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. It's not unto death. How so? How can Christ declare that this sickness is not unto death? Well, it's not because Christ declared it not to be so. Look back in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Justified, declared righteous. How could Lazarus be declared not sick unto death? Because Christ declared it that way. He declared him not sick unto death. Christ declares righteousness. And who has the authority or right to declare a sinner who is sick unto death? Sin, sick unto death. Unto spiritual death. Who has the right to declare a sinner not spiritually sick unto death? And only a sovereign God who owns that sinner. Who owns that sinner could have the right to declare that sinner justified. And our God is a just God. He's a just God. So he'd only do that if the sin debt was paid. If the sin debt was already paid. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified. They're declared righteous. Justified from all things from which he cannot be justified under the law of Moses. Who has the authority or the right to declare that Lazarus' sickness is not unto death? Only a sovereign God who created that life has the ability to control it. And that's exactly what Christ did here. He declared, this sickness is not unto death. God's sovereign control, he has to declare what is. So how and why would a holy God, declare a sinner righteous? How can that be right? How can a holy God declare a sinner righteous? We'll look at a few points. First, Christ's love. Look in verse 3 again. Christ's love. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And look down in verse 5. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. In verse 11, and this is what really drew me to the text today, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. He calls Lazarus his friend. Christ's love. Who's sufficient for these things? You start talking about Christ's love. My goodness, who is sufficient to even begin a conversation about Christ's love? What was the verse we read before the service? Exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. We can't scratch the surface. We talk about Christ's love. Exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. I've heard Christ's love preached in such a way that it sounds like God's love to us is contractual. Almost that he has to love us because Christ died for us. And if that were the case, that would be above all that I could ask or think. That would be above all that I could ask or think. And that'd be more than I deserve. But Christ says in verse 11, our friend Lazarus. That's abundantly above all that I could ask or think. Our friend Lazarus, he says. Christ's love, touching just the surface. And Matthew 11, the Pharisee, they called Christ the friend of sinners. Friend of sinners. That's abundantly above all that I could ask or think. Look back at Hebrews 2. Let's turn to that. Friend of sinners. Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 11. How can a holy God declare a sinner righteous? Christ's love. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Brethren. Christ calls Lazarus his friend. He calls us brethren. Now that's exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think. Brethren, Christ's love. Back in our text there, the Savior's promise. Look at verse 25. Christ's promise is a revelation to his people. He tells Martha, your soul will never die. I'm the resurrection. He's revealing who he is. That Christ's promise is a revelation to his people. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He says, I am the resurrection. I'm the life. And his promises is wrapped up in that revelation of who he is. He's able, right? He's able to make this his promise. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. He's able to make that promise because of who he is. The Son of God, he has all authority. He can call the rocks. He can raise the rocks up to worship him. He can breathe life into dry bones. All authority. He has the right to say, I'm the resurrection and the life because of who he is. He can call those dry bones up to worship him just as he does here for Lazarus. He has the right to be sovereign because of who he is. He paid that atonement. Paid that full atonement. He earned that right for all of his children. What did he say in Matthew 26, just before he instituted the Lord's Supper? He said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He has that right to say, to declare, to reveal, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life, because of who he is, because of what he's done. He's the Holy Son of God who shed his blood for the remission of sins. He has the right to say that. He has the right to say that. Christ shed his blood. The only payment that could pay that perfect demand of God's justice and God's law. How can a holy God declare a sinner righteous? He paid the price. So his promise is sure. He tells Martha, again back there in verse 25, he tells Martha, Jesus said unto her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. How can a holy God declare a sinner righteous? Christ's love. He called Lazarus friends. He calls his children brethren. Christ's promise. Christ, our great high priest. Look in verse 33 there in our text. Christ, our great high priest. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him, in what manner he loved him. Behold how he loved him. He groaned in his spirit. Verse 35 said Jesus wept. Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, wept, was touched with our emotions. As a man, sinless, he sinlessly wept, touched with our emotions. Now that verse is abundantly above all that I could ask or think. And what's the scripture say? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Full of grace and truth. Sinless, perfect flesh. Entirely man. So that Jesus wept. He wept. He was touched with human emotions. Christ, the Son of God, Scripture says we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, right? Christ, the Son of God, is touched with human emotion. Christ, the Son of God, is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. How? Because he was at all point tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Just as Christ was made flesh, Christ was made sin. He's made sin. He who knew no sin was made sin. No other sacrifice could be right. It couldn't be right in the payment for sin. It couldn't be right to present before God. It's no other sacrifice could be. The blood of bulls and goats was a type. Blood of bulls and goats was never intended to take away sin. It's a type. It's a picture pointing to Christ. They're never intended to take away sin. How could they? How could a goat's blood be equal to a human's blood, a man's blood? But Christ's sacrifice, that wasn't a type. That wasn't a picture. That wasn't some sort of administrative procedure. Christ's blood literally took away sin. Christ was made sin. Christ's blood literally took away sin. Look again back in Hebrews 10. We were there a little bit earlier. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified, made holy, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. After that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of sins is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, by the blood of Jesus. It wasn't a type, wasn't a picture, wasn't an example. Christ's blood actually took away sin because he was made sin. Shed his blood on the cross. That's the atonement before a holy God. Jesus wept. He was made sin. He was made flesh. Jesus wept. Finally, let's look there at the Savior's call. Based on everything we've talked about, God's sovereign control, his right to declare what is, Christ's love, he said, what, our friend Lazarus, right? The Savior's promise, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. And our great high priest, who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, made sin, yet without sin, based on Christ's power and right to do so, he declares in verse 43, back in our text, verse 43, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Based on who he is and what he has done, Christ can say, Lazarus, come forth. What does a preacher say during a wedding? Right before the preacher says, I now pronounce you man and wife, right? What's the preacher say right before that? Based on the power vested in me by, usually we hear here, by the state of Kentucky, right? The state of Kentucky has to give that power to the preacher to declare those people married, husband and wife. Christ doesn't have to do that. Not so with our Lord. Christ has that power. Based on who he is and what he has done, he's earned that power. He doesn't have to say, based on the power vested in me by, he says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Christ says, sinner, so he says spiritually, sinner, come forth. The Spirit says, sinner, live. Look there in verse 44. What's the sinner's response? Christ said, Lazarus, come forth, and he that was dead came forth. Bound hand and foot with grave clothes, His face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Now, he had on those grave clothes. He lived, he who was dead. The Lord spoke life to him, just as he does to a sinner's spiritual deadness. It creates life where there was no life before. The Lord says, live, and a sinner lives. We get up with those grave clothes on. And that's the believer here in this world. The Spirit has given life. And that life is born from above, and that which is born from above is perfect, cannot sin. It's wrapped in those grave clothes, that old flesh. I can imagine Lazarus. You know, they wrapped a body head to toe, all the way down to the ankles. Yeah, I can imagine he was tight in there, walking in those grave clothes before they loosed him. And then that's us walking in this world, wrapped up in those grave clothes of our sinful flesh with this sinful nature. But now that the Lord speaks life, and that life is there. That life is there. If I look for it, I won't see it. If I look for it in myself, or if you look for it in myself, you won't see it. But it's there. Based on the promise of this book, we know it to be so. That's exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That life is there. That life is there. It's so. In verse 45, many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did. They believed on him. And that's what we pray. I pray that you're blessed as I have been through the study, with seeing the Lord's power and authority and right that he has because of who he is, and right that he has earned because of his shed holy, perfect blood, to say to a sinner, sinner, live. And the sinner lives. They that saw it believed. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Holy Father, I pray that you take these words and use them for your will. Bless according to your word. We pray again. We know that you know the need. We pray for our pastor. We pray for Janet. We pray for this coming Friday. Our will, Father. You've told us to make our prayers, our petitions known before you. We come before your throne of grace. We ask, our will is that you heal, Father. We pray that you do. We pray that you give us faith. Faith to believe and to trust, to wait, to rest on your word. Be with us as we go home this evening. Thank you for this time that we've had together. We pray this thankfully in Christ's name for his sake.